Authorities in the Republic of Texas are locked in a hostage standoff in the Davis Mountains in West Texas. The standoff that began about 10 hours ago signals the separatist group's escalation from angry words and bogus liens to violence. Good evening. Over the past several months, the historical inaccuracies and wild legal claims made by this faction of the Republic of Texas seem to make them almost comical, except for the threat of violence, a threat they made good on today when they took a couple hostage near their so-called embassy near Fort Davis. Channel 8's Robert Riggs has been at the standoff today, and he joins us now live from Pecos. Robert?
Brad, for weeks, the Republic of Texas threatened an armed confrontation, much like the Branch Davidian siege outside Waco, if anyone tried to arrest them. Well, now they have their standoff, and they have declared war against the government. More than 100 federal, state, and local law enforcement agents surrounded hostage takers at the remote Republic of Texas outpost of the Davis Mountains. Texas troopers blockaded all access to the Republic of Texas embassy. Heavily armed officers stood on lookout for sympathetic militia groups that might try to reinforce the belligerent group and its standoff. Richard McLaren, the self-proclaimed ambassador of the Republic, declared war and ordered the takeover of an elderly neighbor's home. He pronounced Joe Rowe and his wife, M.A. Rowe, prisoners of war. Rowe suffered two minor gunshot wounds, according to neighbors and a county judge. At Rowe's home, a strident member of the Republic's Defense Force answered the phone and would not allow the Rowes to speak.
We have a military situation in progress. One of our lieutenants in our military unit was taken a prisoner of war by the Jeff Davis County Sheriff's Department early this morning.
The siege erupted when the Jeff Davis County Sheriff arrested the captain of the embassy security guard shortly before noon for gun possession. McLaren had turned more angry after the arrest of a Republic of Texas member last week in Austin for filing phony liens. The embassy had notified the Texas Attorney General it was an act of war. Richard Otto, also known as White Eagle, had posted military alerts on the Republic's webpage. By telephone, we asked Otto what it would take to end the standoff.
Very simple. We got two, they got two, we swap, and they stop preying on our people.
Paramedics set up a staging area near the entrance to the rugged Davis Mountain Resort. 100 retirees are trapped inside their homes, in effect held hostage, cut off by the Republic's armed forces. Paramedics prepared for the worst-case scenario.
Folks, we got to have a lot of room to work if things get nasty. Not that I'm anticipating them getting nasty or anything like that.
In recent conversations, McLaren had grown increasingly paranoid and edgy. He had even told the FBI that he was ready for a shootout. There is an FBI negotiator on the way to the scene tonight who had struck up a rapport with McLaren and his followers, and it is likely that they will react very cautiously as they have thus far, learning the lessons of Waco, treating this like the standoff with the Montana Freeman, which ended peacefully. However, there will be a pressing timetable. There are many people trapped inside that are elderly, that need medication, need to see the doctor, as well as people outside who tonight are very frustrated, saying they need to get inside there and feed their animals and also pick up various medications and check on their loved ones. Brad?
Robert, this faction of the Republic of Texas says it has sympathizers. Any other groups out there?
Brad, we've seen no scene of that tonight. The police radios in the area have been crackling with reports of camouflaged men loaded in vans, headed on the way. Of course, some of those reports may actually be ATF FBI agents who are in rental vehicles coming in from the airport. Interestingly, about a month ago after one of my stories on the Republic, the head of a Klan group in Wise County, the group that's now accused of the bomb plot to blow up the natural gas facility there, had called me and said that if Richard McLaren was betting on them coming out to help or any other militias, he couldn't count on them, that they wouldn't be drawn into such a conflict. So it appeared that many militia groups were very wary. However, there has been a group of ex-Branch Davidians up in Colorado who recently faxed out an alert pledging they would be here armed if anything like this happens. So right now it's wait and see, and law enforcement officers are very heavily armed. There are at least 100 in the area, more on the way, and it's wait and see and try to end this peacefully. Brad?
Okay, thank you very much. Robert Riggs, live in West Texas.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first broadcast of Hidden Mysteries Radio. My name's Asmodor. I'll be your host tonight. We're going to be talking about a subject that was quite the controversy back in 2002. We're going to be talking about an organization that is still in existence, has more members than ever, and is advocating for Texas to become independent. And since we're talking about this subject, the subject being Republic of Texas and the Texas Nationalist Movement, and the standoff with Rick McLaren, who is the ambassador for the Republic of Texas, who better to have for a guest than our co-host, Ghost? Ghost is the nom de plume of Lauren Savage. Lauren is the vice president of the Republic of Texas and the Texas Nationalist Movement. He's also the owner of HiddenMysteries.com and TGS Publishing. Lauren, tell us about Republic of Texas and the Texas Nationalist Movement.
We're here advocating for Texas to become its own nation state in its own right, to seek its own fortunes without the influence and without the troubles that the United States has created for itself and for Texas.
And what type of legal standing do you think that there is for separating from the United States? Didn't the Civil War settle that issue?
Well, we've got every legal right and legal standing to do so. But when you're talking about dealing with the federal government of the United States in Washington, D.C., legality goes out the window along with justice and anything else that's proper.
Well, what about the government in Austin? Is that not just a backwater province of the government in Washington, D.C.?
At times, but you can't identify everybody in the legislature as being such, because Texas has a way of always picking its favorite sons, which are Texans, to be in the legislature, whether they hold the purse strings or hold the power there or not. But yes, it is just a puppet government of the federal government right now, but it doesn't have to be. It can change its britches anytime it wants to.
Well, but back to the question, the main argument that I hear against this is that all these issues of states' rights and secession were settled by the Civil War. Is that not correct?
Well, if that's the case, then Israel is no longer a state, is it? It cannot be in a nation, because Rome settled that question.
Okay, well, let's go back in time a little bit.
I did.
Well, let's go back in time in Texas a little bit.
Okay.
What were the beginnings of the Republic of Texas movement? Whose idea was this, and what were the events that led up to it?
Well, the idea was by our great-grandfathers. And the idea was Texas has its own sovereign right without interference from the United States government. And this moved, raised its head in 1848 under Governor Bell, who called for the secession of the United States. Is that where you want me to start?
Well, we can talk about that, but I think the question that I was asking more specifically is about the Republic of Texas, the group that you are the vice president of, and the Texas Nationalist Movement. What originally started that? Whose idea was it? And what events brought it about?
Well, what I was pointing out was it's the same spirit, same Texan spirit that influenced Governor Bell with his Texas pride that's influencing the people today wanting Texas independence. Yes, we started in 1995 as far as a new movement, but the undercurrent of the movement had begun decades before. And you can go back to our governor during the World War II, and that secession movement was on his mind from the day he stepped in that governor's mansion.
Didn't he put a sign on the Red River telling the United States to keep out during World War II?
He put them on all highways entering the Texas from the United States.
What did the sign say?
United States, go on, keep out.
What do you think the governor's logic behind doing that was?
He was making a point that Texas should be free and was supposed to be free. And when he entered, the United States was busy taking all the oil wells and old Gulf waters away from Texas. And he had put his foot down saying no, and they just tromped all over the state's rights then. Your states have no rights. The Republican Party made sure there were no states' rights left in 1865 when they destroyed everything.
Well, Texas really suffered under Reconstruction worse than just about any of the rest of the states that had fought under or with the Confederacy. Isn't that true?
Yes, it suffered the worst disasters, the worst atrocities, and the longest one.
And Reconstruction, that's although it predates Orwell, one could really refer to that as an Orwellian term when it comes to Texas, couldn't they? Since nothing was destroyed in Texas, there was nothing that needed reconstructing.
That's true.
Well, moving forward a little bit, would you say that it's an accurate statement to say that the Republic of Texas, as it began in the 90s, that was the brainchild of Rick McLaren?
I don't know if you call it a brainchild or a discovery. He discovered some documents which led him into this realm of Texas supposed to be independent. Now, even though he wasn't born in Texas, you can tell he was a Texan at heart for the way he talked, the way he acted about Texas.
I believe that he became very interested in everything Texan when he wrote a book report in fourth grade about the Battle of San Jacinto. There are lots of people all over the United States, indeed all over the world, who become enamored with the legends and the realities of Texas in similar ways.
I didn't know there was a difference
between the legend and the reality.
That's true.
I doubt there is. Okay, so you say it was some documents that were discovered. These had something to do with land titles?
Yes, he was tracing his land title back on his vineyards, the way I understood it, and he discovered the title companies were not researching the full title history of that property, and when his land title became in dispute, he sued Stewart Title Company because they did not do a full title search.
And they only went back to something like 1878, is that correct?
It was 1878 or 1876.
And the reason for that, when they got to researching into, you know, why does the search stop there, it turns out that in that part of Texas, the federal government had come in and stolen all the land records.
Yeah, they stole what Texas called the Great Land Registers.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was tied up with Spanish land grants, right?
Nearly all of it had Spanish land grants. It also had titles of land bequeathed to the Indians under Sam Houston, even.
Yeah. Well, so when McLaren discovered this, is that the thing that led to what then Attorney General Dan Morales coined the term paper terrorism? Is that what led to the filing of liens?
No. The filing of liens was a common law court movement that predated the RT movement by several years. The filing of liens, which was not illegal, it was never illegal, was added to the RT movement so they could try to take out everybody in one clean swoop by Dan Morales, the criminal district attorney.
Well, what do you mean criminal?
I mean, he served his time in prison. He was a criminal. What? Who stole money from the state of Texas. He stole money out of your pocket and mine.
Well, now, let's move forward just a little bit. Now, Republic of Texas, that's the provisional government of an independent nation of Texas. Is that correct?
It's true. It's sitting in waiting, ready to be enacted, ready to be brought forward as soon as the political side of this thing is wrapped up.
And it has a president, a vice president, various executive officers, and a legislature. Is that correct?
Yes, they've been studying and being prepared for the coming move for many years now. And there were quite a handful of talented people that were in this thing.
What is the difference between Republic of Texas and the Texas Nationalist Movement?
Republic of Texas is the government in exile, you might call it. And then the Texas Nationalist Movement is the political arm of the same people that want the Republic of Texas to make the Republic of Texas voted in at the ballot box.
Why do you think that the federal government, the state government, and even, you know, New World Order propaganda groups like the SPLC. Why do you think that they are so afraid of an independent Texas?
Because Texas would instantly be the number one economy on the face of the earth. It would outrank the United States in a few years' time. It's already number 11 before we even started the battle. But when we return to a real money system based on real value, whether it be gold, silver, oil, or cotton, which doesn't really matter, it's going to lay to waste everything else that's been built on fraud.
Well, let's talk about a few of the things that gave the Republic of Texas movement so much notoriety in the late 90s and early 2000s. The Republic of Texas used to issue its own license plates and inspection stickers and that sort of thing, according to news reports that I saw. Is that correct?
No, news reports are stupid. The news reporters are liars. They have not done their homework. The Republic of Texas never sold anything.
Well,
it's not like the federal government, state of Texas, which is selling you licenses and selling you plates and selling you privileges. No, we weren't into that. That was private people selling souvenirs.
I think selling is really too soft a word for it, isn't it? Because if they were selling you something, that would mean you would have to actually want it and desire it to buy it. But if I go out onto the highway in my car without the required license plate, I'm going to have my property taken from me and have my body thrown in a cage, aren't I?
Well, if you voted for any of the people down in Austin that refused to rectify the crimes, you voted for the crime.
Well, who was the first president of the Republic of Texas, the movement, not the historical republic?
Caught me off guard there. I don't remember his name. I can see his man. This is Joel. He was an insurance salesman.
Okay, so it wasn't McLaren.
McLaren was never the president. He did not want to be the president.
But so his only title with the Republic was as an ambassador.
Yes.
Now, I've seen a video of McLaren giving, I don't know if you call them classes or symposiums, and he said that if you're pulled over by state of Texas officials and charged with a traffic offense, then, or any crime for that matter, that you should demand to be read your rights as a foreign national under the UN Charter. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, I'm familiar with some of Rick's tactics, yes. He was really a genius when it comes to all the law, and especially international law.
Well, yeah, before he got involved in running Vineyards and all that, he used to write auto repair manuals, didn't he?
I heard he had. I didn't confirm it, no.
Well, that's what the news report said, and that would indicate to me a very ordered and precise mind.
Well, he was that.
Let's talk about what led up to the standoff that happened around the same period of time that the other standoffs happened. This is where we start getting into what I think is really interesting on an international scale. Around the same period of, 10 years or so, you had the Branch Davidian massacre in Waco. You had the Ruby Ridge, where, they shot up that family over a shotgun, and it was under the Clinton administration. Now, this one was the only one where nobody died. What do you think the big difference was?
Mostly because the Texas law enforcement put their foot down and stepped in and enforced states' rights over the federal FBI marching in there and taking over. They would not let the feds there. What we were told. The sheriffs handled all the negotiations. The sheriffs handled with the department, of course, with the Department of Public Safety. Everything that went on down there, they were in charge. They were not going to let the feds come in and create another Waco either, or from their angle.
Do you think the feds were really angling to do that?
Yes.
Well, in the lead up to this, now, the federal government had been really harassing McLaren for some time. They had taken and made him the focal point and really had been conducting psychological warfare on him. Would you say that's an accurate statement, or am I being a little hyperbolic?
No, they did. They performed the – they practically brainwashed him into being totally scared of what, of living, that every time he walked out the door, they were going to take him out. It wasn't just the feds. It was the feds in coalition with the Attorney General Morales and Governor Bush.
Now, in all of the news coverage that was going on about the Republic of Texas at the time, generally it was classified by the reporters as a militia group as well as a separatist group. Do you think that was a fairly accurate description of militia group?
Well, it very well accurately describes the American Revolution group.
Mm-hmm.
They were separatists and they were militant, and I can't say that they can compare us with that because we were not militant.
Right.
We had our own militia to protect ourselves inside our own business, on our own, doing our own thing and doing our own business. They weren't out on the highways and byways trying to attack anybody. That's the what the Americans do.
Okay, well, what they really came after McLaren for initially, there were two charges. One was that he was passing bad money, bank fraud, writing checks that, you know, Republic of Texas checks that were supposedly backed by Republic of Texas money. You want to address that one?
I don't think he ever wrote a Republic of Texas check.
Okay, and the other was what we mentioned earlier, what Morales called the paper terrorism, the filing of liens. According to Robert Riggs of Channel 8 News in Dallas, McLaren and other members of the Republic of Texas group filed liens on everything from their neighbors to the state of Texas itself, that they filed liens on the Alamo, the State House, and claimed that they owned all of it.
Boy, was that a rigged story.
Well, what's the truth of it?
Filing liens on the Alamo. Didn't file any liens on anybody's house. Republic of Texas filed one lien. One lien only. It was for reparations from the Civil War. Brought forward to today's standard at the old gold rate.
Yeah.
That's the only lien they ever filed, was for the violation of our separatist rights back in 1865. And that was the only reparations, and the only lien they ever filed was for that and that only. It was not done in any local state house. It wasn't done in any local filing. It was all done through the Universal Commercial Code. Uniform Commercial Code.
Right. Okay. Now, despite all the accusations that were made against McLaren and the Republic of Texas in general, they really left him alone and didn't come after him until events occurred that escalated the situation. Now, these events appear to have been that a person who lived in the compound, as they called it, out on McLaren's land, a member of the Republic of Texas, was arrested, and what the two of them were arrested on gun charges, according to the news. And at that point, two other members left the property, went to the next door neighbor's house, shot up the house, and took two hostages, and demanded that the two who had been arrested be released. How accurate is that?
About 10%.
Well, what 10% is accurate?
They did hold their neighbors, not hostage, but they held them. You wouldn't let them leave their property because they've been spying on Rick McLaren and the people down in his house and his where he lived for the local sheriff for several months, and they were getting tired of it. Every time somebody would leave the property, they were calling the sheriff.
Well, they claim that he had put liens on their property as well.
That was a good hand-me-down that the feds or the state gave him to use, but no, he didn't.
Well, why do you think there was so much enmity?
Because he was winning. because he was successful and he was going to make it happen.
Well, but
had he been left alone, we'd already be a republic.
Yeah. Well, where is he now?
He's in solitary confinement in a prison.
That's right. I checked the records. They gave him 99 years, and the only charge is engaging in the only state charge, engaging in organized criminal activity. He also has a charge for bank fraud that's a federal charge, but of course he'll never do federal time because he's not projected to be released until he's 87 years old, and that's only a projected release if they give him parole. Why do you think that the state considered McLaren himself so dangerous?
Because he could articulate far better than I can the purpose, the meaning, and the reason for secession of Texas from the federal government. He made it a dream come true. He was very good at explaining it so that everybody could understand it. And he knew all the ins and outs without having to and if or but it like I have to many times. He was a genius at these things. He did some things wrong. And one of the worst things he did was listening to the American Patriot Movement side, where let him down some rabbit trails that led us into trouble, led especially him into trouble. But he had the people in his hand. He had well over 2 million people signed up to further the cause for the Republic of Texas and secession, including many, many, many American military men.
Well, tell me if you think that this statement is accurate. An independent Texas and a person who can advocate the position for an independent Texas is a huge poke in the eye to the New World Order.
It very well is. Dan's done very, Dan Miller, who's our president, is far more articulate than I am about this stuff. I'm kind of like the library behind the words, and he's the words spewing the library. But he's very articulate, and so was Richard Lance McLaren, about explaining what the need is and why we need it.
And is it true that the state of Texas is so afraid of the Republic of Texas that you can't even write Rick McLaren, that they send you your letters back because you are, as vice president of the Texas Nationalist Movement, you're classified as a member of a security threat group?
That's my understanding. I haven't seen that personally, but I know I am not. All my letters come back as contraband. I've written to him several. I was writing to him for about a year straight, and all of a sudden they started contrabanding all my letters to him, and the letters he was sending to me were, I don't know, they let things through that I filed for him, and they knew it was coming. And then I got contrabanded after I sent the mailings off to the court departments, court systems.
And McLaren is in solitary confinement 24/7, right?
23/7. They let him out 1 hour a day.
Right. But when they let him out, he's still in solitary confinement because when he's out by himself.
True. With the guards.
Right. Well, what?
It's the biggest travesty of justice Texas has ever perverted against one of its own.
Well, what would a guy like Rick McLaren, I mean, you know, he's nearly 60 years old now, if he's not. He's never been violent. He's never been violent in prison. He's not a member of any type of gang like the Bloods, the Crips, the Aryan Brotherhood. What justification do they have for keeping him in solitary confinement?
A hot check?
Well, I think that at this point we will take a break, and we'll be right back after these words from our sponsor.
Are you an unpublished author? You can get your manuscript published at incredibly low prices. TGS Publishing is the largest print-on-demand publisher in Texas. Visit tgspublishing.com for more details. Order as few as 50 copies of your book and keep your capital for marketing. TGS Publishers can get your literary work into print and published. TGSPublishing.com.
And we're back. We're talking to Lauren Savage, the Vice President of the Republic of Texas and the Texas Nationalist Movement. We've been talking about Texas independence. We've been talking about the history of the movement. And we've talked a little bit about Rick McLaren, who is a prisoner of war, the undeclared war on the independent sovereign nation of Texas. Is that how you'd say it, Lauren?
That's how we like to say it. Whether it's legally valid, it's just, it doesn't matter. That's the way we look at it. He is a prisoner of war because he attempted to help Texas and Texans, and all he got was a shaft.
Now, on the issue of Texas independence, for people out there who think that it would be a good idea for Texas to be an independent state, what can they do, what can they best do to help work toward that goal?
Well, the biggest problem is getting the word out, and you're not going to get the word out with rigged media, because if you depend on the media to get your message out, you're depending on their twist on the message, which, like Robert Riggs, can't get the truth straight if he tried. We need the funds to do media blitzes consistently, so we get the word out about why Texas needs to be free. And sending your money to the TNM is spent nearly, I would guess, around 99% totally goes back to the cost of getting the media put out in the publications and everything, with very little being held back for overhead. The only overhead we really have right now is the rent on one office, and we have enough loyal officers that'll pay the rent on the office usually. So that's not the problem. The problem is getting it out in mass. We need to be able to afford billboards along every highway. We need to be able to send out mass mailings because we can't get through the newspaper. We have to create our own newspaper and mail it to everybody. Something has to happen that the people want out. If after the banksters crashed the financial system, for people to not understand how we just barely escaped the worst depression of ever, even though it was brought on by the banksters and the Republican Party as a partner in this thing, not that the Democratic Party didn't help them, but they got the reward for it. The people in the street did not understand exactly how close they were to a total depression, total financial meltdown. And that alone should let them know that something's got to change. And it's not going to change in Washington, D.C. How many times have we voted in a conservative only to get another liberal? How many times have we voted in a liberal just to get another conservative? It doesn't work. Nothing you vote up there is going to work. It's entrenched. Nothing is going to change. So we got to start changing at the local level, up to your county level, up through your districts, and into the state house. We've got to get our people that love Texas more than anything else in the world in position to make this thing happen. And we're not going to happen with a bunch of carpetbaggers from the north coming in here and acting like they're Texans and then doing everything like a Yankee. And I'm speaking of Governor Perry.
Well, if somebody wants to contribute to the effort, if they want to donate to the Texas Nationalist Movement, where do they do that?
Go online, on the web, TexasNationalistMovement.com. It's Texas Nationalists. TexasNationalMovement.com, Nationalist Movement.
TexasNationalistMovement.com.
And there's links there for you to volunteer your time or volunteer the money.
How many members does TNM estimate they have right now?
Well, online working and volunteers and ready to go type members, probably about 750,000.
Well, that's a pretty good number.
Well, it's not enough. Texas is 24 million strong.
Well, that's right. But haven't there been historical analysis done that said that what you really need is, isn't it some odd number, like 1.7% of the populace willing to do whatever it takes?
That's what affects a revolution, yes. Not affect a win, but will affect the revolution to begin.
Now, are groups like Republic of Texas and Texas Nationalist Movement, are you advocating for a violent revolution?
Of course not. We were accused of trying to, some reporter asked us if we were going to bomb Austin because we wanted Texas free. Nuts. No, we want to move into Austin. We don't want to bomb the thing. We want it to take our pride and spread it even further and higher. We want people across the world and the globe to recognize the state capital of Texas, what it is now, what it'll be in the future. It's like they recognize Washington, D.C. Well, Washington, D.C. is going to fade and fade fast when it happens. And they need somewhere else to go, and Texas needs to be ready to take up the slack.
Well, you know, going back to something you said earlier about the economy of Texas, I think the estimates that it would be the 11th largest economy are actually too conservative, because there have been lots of studies come out lately, and of course they've been spun in a way to promote the Republican Party as though it's somehow the Republican Party that caused this. But right now, the reason that the United States is still afloat, the reason that they're still able to pay for the things that they pay for without borrowing and printing money, is because almost 100% due to the robust Texas economy and the fact that no matter what happens, Texans are able to keep it moving. So why would we want to be milk cows for Leviathan on the Potomac?
Well, number one, the United States is still printing money as fast as they can print it. It's backed by nothing but air. The tax end of it, Texas is still a donor state. It does not get back as much as it puts in. Everything extra that they put in either goes to Israel or Washington, D.C. because we are short. For every dollar we put in, we don't get a dollar's worth back. If we got a dollar's worth back, the accounting would come out a lot better.
Well, sending all that money, not just to Israel, which, I mean, we do send a huge amount of money to Israel, but sending all this money to foreign governments, especially when we are either borrowing or printing the money that we send to them, isn't that against not only the spirit, but the words and ideals of not only the Texas founders, but the American founders? Wasn't it George Washington himself who said that we should be friends to everybody and aligned with nobody?
You're right, and he was right, because while it appears we are helping Israel, we're not helping them. We're manipulating them. They'll do what we say because they got our dollars, and they will continue to do what they say. But that's not just Israel that's doing that. Egypt will do it. Palestinians are doing it. We have interfered in so many governments through the purse that there's no wonder Iran thinks we're the great Satan, because they don't want our money. And since they don't want our money, we can't manipulate them. I say ours as far as the United States. We can't manipulate them because they refuse to take our money.
Well,
if they
now
ever take our money, we're in trouble.
Now, whether it's us manipulating Israel or vice versa is going to be part of the subject of our next show. But
is Netanyahu in Washington, D.C.?
Well, what I'm saying is,
then we manipulated it.
That's for another show. but
Texas does not want to be involved in that system anymore. We want all nations to be free. Do it like China. I mean, we've got to set up a democratic ideal for an international view. China is far more of a democratic ideal in their foreign relations than the United States.
Well, doesn't the it's not just the federal government, though. Doesn't the state of Texas send Texas money to Israel?
Yes, they've got some kind of bond issue they pour money into that's snuck out to Israel in illegal of our Texas Constitution. They do it anyway.
And you can find that through the comptroller's office, isn't that right?
Find it through the CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports of Texas.
All right, well, back to the subject of Texas independence. How many times has Texas voted to be independent of the United States?
Texas only had the chance once to vote. That was in 1861, in January and February.
Well, wasn't there a post-war referendum?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But the threat has been there all ever since 1861. The threat is, say, 1848, actually. It was the first threat of it. That's what caused the threat of Texas leaving the Union. It was what forced the Compromise of 1850, which was totally illegal also. But irregardless of all that, Texas has the right to be free. It was written into the contract when we became a nation It was never been altered. We have all our supposed to have all of our original lands, which includes all the way up through Kansas into, I think, Idaho or maybe Montana. All that is a part of Texas lands, and all that belongs to the Texas nation. Now, I'm not saying they all belong to Texas, because they may have, we may end up with a new type of United States of Texas. It's where these former sections return to Texas under their right of return, yet they still remain their self-autonomous free will state, just adjoined for, just joined to Texas as the vehicle to get out.
Well, you know, one thing that I would like to clear up for the historical record here, when Texas voted to secede and fought alongside the Confederacy, Texas became the Republic of Texas again, did they not? They did not become members of the Confederate States of America.
Well, you're right. Whether they would have or would not have was never given the chance to for the people to decide. I mean, they adhered in principle as far as what the Confederacy wanted. I doubt Texas would have ever approved that Constitution the way it was written.
Now, in your opinion, did Texas choose to secede from the Union because of slavery?
Yes and no. About 50-50.
Well, my point in asking that question is, why would you secede to maintain slavery when the federal government made you the offer that if you chose not to secede, you could keep your slaves forever?
The idea of Big Brother putting his big fat foot on your butt was the matter.
Exactly.
Matter then, it's the matter now.
Well, it was issues of states' rights and taxation, wouldn't you say?
Well, at the state level, but the people were more concerned about them interfering in their lives.
In what ways were they interfering with their lives?
Well, you determine who's your property and who isn't at that time, what is and what isn't. That was none of the federal government's right, because, you know, as wrong as slavery was, it was still their right at the time. Virginia had offered the example of ending slavery in the South because of the, you got to remember the economics of the time. The cotton gin had come. The need for slaves was diminishing rapidly, to where many of them were turned out and they were starving because they couldn't find jobs as freemen. That did happen. Many of them went north to try to find jobs. After they filled up the empty jobs, they went north and found nothing except more pain and more starvation. Boy, after the Civil War, after the United States had totally decimated the South and its economy, it was going to be many, many years before it could ever recover. And white and black and purple and green and yellow and red and all of us suffered under that Reconstruction farce.
Well, the famous Yankee abolitionist Lysander Spooner said that the Civil War did not free any slaves, but rather enslaved the free population along with the slaves. Would you say that's an accurate statement?
I didn't hear it from Lysander Spooner, but I've heard it from Frederick Douglass.
Well, it's in the...
I agree. He probably did say it, but I just had that quote or that thought I remember reading from Frederick Douglass.
Yeah, well, they were very similar in their thinking. But would you say that's an accurate statement?
Yes, it's a very accurate statement.
And are we still enslaved by the federal government today?
President Jefferson Davis said the same thing, that the war settled nothing. That the same principles will come alive again. And he's not talking about slavery. He's talking about the principles of independence from the United States, free for a state to do whatever it decides to do on its own without interference from Washington. Because he knew that Washington was only defined, or the United States government is not truly a government in its own right. It has no land. It has no property. All it has is a piece of dump or borrowed land from two states where they put the capital. Well, but it has no, it really does not have any sovereign land of its own.
In spite of documents, wars, beliefs, or anything else, would you say that self-determination is an absolute human right?
I think it's an absolute human necessity.
If secession is illegal and wrong, how does the United States exist? Was the Revolutionary War not secession from a legal government?
Yes, it was. Why are they so against secession now, but they weren't when Albania was trying to secede areas from Yugoslavia? Why is it so whenever the Kosovo seceded from Albania? You know, they're two-faced in their application of cherry-picking laws.
Well,
one thing you can depend on the United States government to do is lie.
Well, there is a group of people that can only be classified as international elements who will take whichever side of an issue benefits them. That's why I believe that happens. But moving on, if everyone has the right of self-determination and the majority of the people of Texas decide, as they may already have decided, that Texas independence is the best thing for them, and they vote to become independent, what's going to stop them?
I don't think anything will stop them this time around.
Do you think that, let me hit you with a couple of the points that people who tell me that in theory they support it, but in reality they have problems with it. Let me throw a couple of them at you, and you tell me what you think. The first one being, well, I've worked all my life, and I've paid into Social Security. I'm getting close to retirement age, and I need my Social Security and my Medicare. If we secede, I'm not going to get it.
That's not in the paperwork at all, with your Social Security. You get your Social Security no matter where you are in the world, no matter what country you're a citizen of at that time.
Well, and
it's an insurance policy. Remember that. It's an insurance policy. It's not the government.
Well,
you paid the money. You're going to get it back.
If the federal government were to try to pull some type of thing like that, I'm sure that the Republic of Texas could take them to the international courts and win, because
it, well, I don't think the Republic of Texas would have to. I think the people alone would do it. They'd tear them to shreds.
Well, and also, isn't it true that people, both American citizens and foreign nationals, who work in the United States, and believe me, there's lots of them, and they'll move to countries in South America or Eastern Europe where the dollar is worth so much more, where they can actually live a comfortable life on their Social Security. They get to draw that money whether they're in the United States or not.
Correct. That money is yours. It's from an insurance policy. It has nothing to do with government.
Okay, now here's the next, and probably the only other real negative comment that you get from these people who say, in principle, in theory, I agree with you, but, and that's the following. If we do that, the American military will invade, and we cannot resist them.
That's the question mark they have, not the question mark we have. Will they invade? Well, what happens if 25% of that military you send down here to invade are Texans? They're not going to have. It's not going to happen.
Well, aren't
the military is not going to pick up weapons against one of its own states?
You don't think that Texans in the military will fire on Texans?
No.
Well, why wouldn't they do that?
Because they'll be busy shooting their friends in the back that are in the service trying to do that.
Well, is it
whatever necessary?
Would you say that Texans are, and don't give me just a yes or no on this one, expound on a little bit, because I know you have a lot of good thoughts on this. Are Texans a people? Do they have their own culture? Do they have their own history?
We definitely have our own history. Probably the most documented history of a nation and state that was ever devised. I mean, they were very detail-minded back in the 1800s when they started this thing, and everything that happened was recorded. So we have our own history. We have a culture. It's a multifaceted culture. Don't get me wrong. We have one of the best multifaceted cultures there is, and it's regionalized. So it's what makes it so interesting. I can go to the South coastal area, and I can eat Vietnamese and Cajun-type foods all day long, or I can come up to the middle section. I can have German foods and Czechoslovakian foods. Come to Dallas, have Russian and Greek cuisines. We have the most, I'd say, the most culture in the world. We probably do. on top of that, you got your own Texas flavors, such as barbecue and special hamburgers and
chili.
Of course, you got Texas chili. We've got our own separate culture that went with our Western ideals at the time.
Well, not to mention the antebellum Southern culture that we have right here in Northeast Texas.
Yeah, which he was built and raised upon a tobacco industry, which is the United States decimated.
And cotton. Cotton,
sugar.
My grandfather and all of his brothers were all cotton farmers. And you also have the culture of the oil industry. Texas is one of the most historic places there is in the New World, wouldn't you say?
One reason when Texas is sitting on a pot of oil, let's put it that way. It's the pot of gold that they've not found yet, but trust me, it's there from inside sources. Texas needs to be out of the United States before that's opened up, before it's finally officially discovered, because it will make Saudi Arabia look like a burnout oil well. Now, when Texas becomes free, that may be the new money system we have backing maybe the wealth that backs the new monetary system, because there's no lock to gold or silver. It's not necessary to have a lock to metals. It's a lock to anything that's of value, because what makes money, paper money, worth anything is being, whether it's backed by the value or not.
Well, what would be the advantage to Texas issuing its own currency compared to the American petrodollar?
The advantage would be having money that's backed by something of value, number one, which means that if you get paid on Friday at 4 p.m. and the United States crashes at 6, you've got nothing in your pocket except trash.
Well, it's like the Weimar Republic, where you get paid and you have to run to the butcher, because between the time that you get paid and the time that you can make it 6 blocks to the butcher, the prices have gone up.
That's about what happened when the bankster collapse happened. Prices doubled overnight just because of the money problem. And they had to print so much money to cover. Everybody thinks, well, that was just $8 trillion. No, it wasn't just $8 trillion. It was closer to $40 trillion, and it's still climbing.
Well, back to McLaren. After years of harassment by the federal and state government and the local county sheriff, when they arrested the two members on the gun charges and two other members went and took the hostages and exchanged them for them, that's when the big standoff started. Now, you said that the feds had been waging psychological warfare against McLaren. Do you think that they had really driven him over the edge by that time?
Yes, I think he would have been way over the edge into fear, and not only for himself, but for his wife and her kids. And he was just out of it. He wasn't the same Rick.
Now,
you keep saying they got arrested. These two gentlemen got arrested for armed. No, that's something new. That's some idiot reporter made up. That's not true.
Well, that's what Robert Riggs reported.
They were not arrested for a damn thing. They were not arrested.
Well, then
they were just pulled over.
Well, what was the reason for the taking of hostages in exchange?
Because those people thought he was arrested.
I see.
The man was not arrested.
Well, if there's one thing I know, it's that the mainstream media never gets anything correct. I've learned that from my own experience with them, experiences that you shared with me with them, just in local reporting on far less controversial issues, just in local Coffee City politics. Now, the McLaren had a long negotiation. It went on for 7 days, and everything that you heard in the mainstream media, whether it was just coming off of the local Channel 8 News or from ABC News Nightline or any others, I noticed that every time they mentioned McLaren, there were a couple of buzzwords that would come out, one being militia, But more often than anything, Branch Davidian, and they would always try to characterize McLaren as he sounded like David Koresh. And when I would hear this back when it happened, and now when I review the footage again, it sounds to me like, and I think it's real instructive for just about any of these type situations when you see the mainstream media coverage, they are planting a seed in your mind to have you expect and think it's okay that it was unavoidable when they roll in and burn you out. The thing that it reminded me of more than anything was the when I would see the helicopters overhead, even more than the Branch Davidian thing, what it really made me think of was Robert Matthews in The Order when he had the shootout at the hotel and made it back to his house, and when they couldn't shoot him out of his house, they sent the helicopters over and set the house on fire and burned him to death in it, and didn't deny that that's what they did, that they purposely did that. And I think that what you have here is a real collusion between controlled media and big government that prepares the mind of the viewer to accept when this is going to happen. And like you said, the only thing that stopped it from happening was that Texas law enforcement kept the feds at bay. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, going back to the reporter's part of it, a reporter, especially for Channel 8 or any of the Texas news, local news, they remind me of the chimpanzees at the zoo. You know, you pat your head, they pat their head. You pat your belly, they pat your belly. You pick your nose, they pick their nose.
Well, and they fling poo a lot.
So whenever Governor Bush's people and Dan Meraz's people put out a statement, they accept it for gospel without ever checking anything. Sometimes we give the media too much credit for what they cannot do. You know, I don't know if they have enough intelligence to mastermind a conspiracy to set the mindset of people. But the government does have the resources and stuff, and they influence the media, and they control the media. They're the one, you know, they know the media is not going to be able to get to Rick McLaren and find out the truth because they got the armed guards around him at the time. So the mind control was ongoing while he was in the compound. They call it a compound. That was to him, it was his home.
Well, it didn't look like much of a compound to me. It was a bunch of open land in the Davis Mountains. It had some vineyards next to it. And it had the house that he lived in that was also the Republic of Texas embassy. And there were a few other houses and trailers that members lived in. That's what it appeared to be to me. And it was right in the middle of a retirement community. I mean, there's nothing there to compare it to anything like the Branch Davidian compound.
Number two, Rick McLaren never gave a sermon in his life. I doubted that he's a member of the Christian religion. I mean, he was spiritual, yes, but he never spouted Bible crap, you know, as far like, you know, don't get me wrong, I thought a lot of the Branch Davidians, and I thought his Bible stuff was worth reading. But Rick McLaren wasn't in that tone. He never did that. That's just media hype.
No, well, nobody alleged that that I saw, they weren't alleging that he was a religious nut. They were really trying to paint him as an extremist and implant the seeds in your mind that the only way that this thing was going to end was going
to... Wanting to help your nation, help your state, and help your people is extremist. I'm like President Kennedy. I'm sorry. Call me an extremist.
Well, extremism in the defense of your people and your nation is no vice.
Yeah. They try to make it a vice.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, what the government and the media want is they want a bunch of overweight, non-thinking zombies paying taxes.
Fox and CNN.
Yeah, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, and the Republicans and Democrats. They want a bunch of unthinking, overweight zombies going to work 40 hours a week, giving more than half of their money in taxes, sitting in front of their TVs, accepting whatever the government tells them.
Well, it's really hard to imagine that the American people, and they really are, have gotten so lazy and stupid that they would listen to a politician at election time. Every election season, immigration problems sprout up. It sprouts up mostly because of the Republican Party. They use it as their whipping dog. And whenever they finally get elected, you find out what happens. Nothing. Nothing's changed. Nothing's going to change. It's going to be the same old crap we've had year after year after year. And every Texan walking the street, I don't care if you're a Spanish Texan or not, you know this, they all admit the same thing. We cannot keep supporting everybody in the world, especially not in Texas. We're running out of room and jobs. You just can't keep doing it.
Well, yeah, that's a really big problem for us. You know,
but it only comes up at election time, and the people fall for it, thinking that one party's going to do something. It never happens.
Well, yeah, you know, the border situation here has gotten so critical. I mean, last summer I attended a border protest, an open borders protest in Tyler. They had them all over the United States. They had them all over Texas. And, you know, we had all these Republicans were elected into office this time. They were given the lots more seats in Congress. They were given control of the Senate. And the election was nothing if not a referendum on open borders. And the vast majority of the American public, not to mention the Texas public, who are taking the brunt of this, 71% of Americans, the last poll that I saw, support a complete moratorium on immigration, legal, illegal, what have you, enforcement of the immigration laws until...
These immigration laws are... I said they are the reoccurrence of what brought down the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire tried to assimilate everybody they conquered, and the United States has conquered Iraq, and it's conquered Saudi Arabia. The money. It's conquered all these people and destroyed their homelands, destroyed their nations, where they have no jobs, and then they open their arms here and say, "Come over here, we got it. We'll take care of you." Well, assimilating your enemy into your ranks, as any responsible general would tell you, is kind of stupid.
Well, absolutely, and we're doing it precisely the way they did then. At a certain point during the Roman Empire, when they got to really needing soldiers, what they would do is they would say, "Okay, we'll give you and your family Roman citizenship if you'll join the legions." Well, what are we doing right now? We have soldiers who are serving, who want to reenlist, who are not being allowed to reenlist, and at the same time, we have recruitment centers in Mexico. Now, setting that aside, the problem that we have up there in Washington, D.C. is that there's a double pincers attack that comes from the right and the left, and that is squeezing the traditional American people to death. And the reason for it is the Republicans want cheap labor for their big business donors, and the Democrats want ready-made welfare state voters, and they're both getting it. And it doesn't matter which side they're on, they're flooded with dirty money. The Republicans, Sheldon Adelson, who hypocritically promotes ethno-nationalism in Israel, but promotes open borders here so that he can have cheap labor for his hotels and his casinos, gives more money to the Republican presidential nominees than the next 20 donors combined. Millions of dollars to PACs. In the last presidential election, he gave something like $12 million to political action committees trying to get Newt Gingrich to be the nominee. And then on the other side, you have the ones like George Soros, who are Marxist agitators, international Marxist agitators, who want to take down America and turn it into another Marxist backwater. And
they can do what they want to up there above, up behind the Red River. I want Texas to get to the spot where, in its own nation, that if you can't vote, you cannot donate.
Well,
if you can't vote, so that means no PAC can vote, no organization can vote, no corporation can vote, only head counts.
Well, no foreign country can vote either.
True. No, and make it a hanging offense, just a try to influence election in Texas from outside sources.
Well, I think any foreign government that attempts to influence our politicians through political donations should have their diplomats expelled from our country.
In Texas? I don't care what the North does.
Well, the whole point that I was getting to in such a roundabout way here is, if Texas became an independent nation tomorrow and we weren't fettered by the interference from Leviathan up there on the Potomac, I think we would have our border and illegal alien problem solved in a week. Would you say that's fairly
accurate?
I have
a feeling that Mexico and Texas could get along far better than Texas and the United States.
Well, I think Texas would defend its borders far better than the United States does for it.
I think that an open border agreement can be brought about legally, one that will work, not that it's open border forever, but open border for work through in Mexico, between Mexico and Texas. That means when the work is down there, we can go down there and get those jobs too.
No, I'd be opposed to that myself. But
well, it works. You know. I mean, you've got that going on worldwide as far as chasing the jobs.
Yeah, and
the United States has perverted the entire financial and business market system. The work is not always here in Texas. It's not going to always be in the United States. It moved it elsewhere. So this chasing people back to where there's no jobs is not very smart either. You know, that's...
Well, allowing people in when there are this many Americans or Texans unemployed is not a good thing either.
Well, allowing them in is bad enough. It's the illegal ones you're trying to stop, where you have no control. And if they hurt somebody here, they're not subject to our laws. And that stuff is brought through a halt through treaties between Texas and Mexico.
Well, I think that the thing we need more than anything else is two border fences, one on the Rio Grande and the big electrified one on the Red River. What do you say to that?
Fences won't do the job anymore, but I don't like to think of the Rio Grande, my river, with a fence in the middle of it. No, not really a pretty sight.
Well,
and I don't like the idea of it being, where Bush put it, you know, many miles inside the U.S. border, Texas border, where you have to look at it either when you're driving down the highway. And that's a bunch of crap. And like Perry said, they just make a bigger ladder. But I'd agree with the idea. You've got to monitor all roads and paths into your home country, which ours is Texas. And you cannot just let anybody come in. You don't let people come in that want to destroy. That'd be like letting Media Matters come to Texas and ruling the government, which is what they would love to do. But you just put a stop to it at the border.
Well, wouldn't you say that it's a good policy to know who's coming, to set criteria for who's allowed to come?
Mostly to set the exit time.
Exactly.
You know, I went to a Caribbean island down there several years back. Enjoyed my 2 weeks there, but my time had run up. And they weren't going to let me stay. I mean, as much as they like me spending my money there and, you know, and enjoying their country, they don't want me to stay there and use up their resources.
Well, what do you think Mexico would say if you moved down there and told them you demanded the right to work, you demanded public welfare benefits, and you demanded that your children be educated in English?
I don't think I'd get very far with it.
Well, that's what's happening here.
But Texas and Spanish go hand in hand, so let's get off of that one.
Well,
Texas has always been a Spanish speaker, always had everything in two languages.
Yeah.
And I don't see anything wrong with it. It's one of the minor issues that I could, doesn't mean anything.
Well,
as far as bringing up illegals and wanting us to train them and teach them in Spanish and English, that's a whole different ball game.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
No, didn't say illegals. The illegal aliens need to be sent back home and make them come through the visa program. You know, we can accept X number this year in Texas for visas, for work visas. And unless you have an employer that's wanting you for a little longer or whatever, your visa is done when it's done, and you leave. If you don't leave, you'll be carried out in a wagon.
All right. Well, we're going to take one more break, and we'll be back to wrap this up right after this.
Truth seekers and freedom-loving Texans, HiddenMysteries.com is the place to find those hard-to-locate books for your research. HiddenMysteries.com has the largest and most diverse knowledge-based selection on the Internet today. Be sure and visit HiddenMysteries.org for over 12,000 free articles for truth seekers. Visit HiddenMysteries.com today or call 903-876-3256 for a free catalog.
And we're back. We're talking to Lauren Savage, the Vice President of the Texas Nationalist Movement. Lauren, the Texas Nationalist Movement, or at the time the Republic of Texas, filed a brief. Could you real quickly tell us about that?
Well, they didn't really file the brief other than with a rabbinical court, but the brief is a book. It's not really it's what would we present to the federal government or a world court if we got a chance to present our case before a truly independent, unbiased jury or set of judges. And the brief is all the legal manipulations that the United States has brought to bear every time anyone brings up Texas and secession. The Texas secession was done illegally in the Texas versus White, which supposedly was the do-all, end-all claim that Texas had no right to secede, was not even about secession. It was about a bond issue. The case for the Republic of Texas has never seen the court of law. So we're left to the court of public opinion. And the court of public opinion is where the Texas Nationalist Movement's goals line up with. Because as one of the chief justices in the dissenting opinion in Texas versus White, he said that if we were to vote that Texas was indeed an independent nation, then we have invaded a nation at peace. And that he's telling the truth. That's what they did in 1861. They invaded a nation at peace with the United States. When they invaded Texas, it pushed Texas into the Civil War. That's why we're there, because otherwise we were just a seceded nation. And back then they had the public opinion 100% on the side of Texas were wanting to free Texas for Texans. And that's where we got to head to again. We've got to get the Texans on board with wanting secession so they can see a better future for themselves and for their offspring. If we don't do it, it's going to be a worse future for them, because they've already proven up in D.C. what they're capable of doing, which is destroying the economy, destroying the monetary system, destroying the banking system. They're very good at destruction of anything. But have you ever seen them build anything positive? No, you're not going to. Right now, the big thing is hammering out money for Israel. You see that now? That's not an important issue if it was my country. You know, that's Israel's problem, and I'm sure it's important to them. But it's not a Texan's problem. Nor should we be hassled or bothered with such trivialities as what another country needs. It's not our problem. We have enough trouble, we'll have enough trouble making sure our own people have jobs and have a decent livelihood and a decent place to live and work. Well, and it's possible here, because we've got every resource on the face of the earth imaginable, except two items, which I'm sure South Africa or the Soviet Union would be glad to sell to us.
Well, isn't that supposed to be the primary objective of any nation, any government, is to look after first and foremost the needs of its people?
Yes, it is to look after the needs of its people, not the needs of its government.
Not the needs of foreign nations.
You can see this on the news every day, that they're all concerned about the needs of government. Whenever they've got all your money to begin with, and they've wasted it, and they're coming back and wanting more for another government that's failing and can't handle its own problems. You know, we don't need to be worried about the Palestinians other than in a immoral fashion. We don't need to be handing them weapons or refusing them weapons or supplying their enemies with weapons. That's not a job for a true nation state that's supposed to be democratic. You know, Did you vote to deny them weapons to fight to defend themselves? Did you vote to arm Israel to defend itself? It doesn't matter. It's not a government's job, nor should you get the chance to vote on it.
I didn't vote to build Israel a nation in the first place.
Well, Israel's just an example because it's going on with Korea's, it's going on with Taiwan, it's going on with a lot of places that we've owed a debt of gratitude to since World War II. Let's face it, we owed a debt of gratitude to Taiwan. Well, how many more decades do we have to suffer that gratitude? I mean, the time is up. Grow up. You've had this many years to get it right and get it set up for yourself. That was the problem in Vietnam. We had two Vietnams. And the people themselves, I think, really wanted a united Vietnam. They probably didn't necessarily want a communist united Vietnam. But the people actually won the war, and the United States and France lost. But it's because of a democratic ideal if they had. And I think Korea's heading there. Hopefully it'll head there safely without war. And Texas is heading there, and I hope it'll do it safely without war.
All right. Well, our show is coming to a close, and so I'd like to get in some plugs for you. If you want more information on the background of the Texas Nationalist Movement, you should go to HiddenMysteries.com and order Line in the Sand by Daniel Miller. And if you would like to publish your own book, you should contact TGS Publishing. Tell them about that, Lauren.
We do print-on-demand publishing for many authors that are starting off. They can't, you know, mainstream publishing is not looking for authors at the moment because the economy's been so bad, but generally they only take pre-published authors. You can't get pre-published till you actually publish one, so this offers them an avenue to get their first book published. And you take that book and you can carry it anywhere and show them that it is, you have been a published author, and it's not vanity publishing. We made sure we avoided that because you're not going to pay one dime extra for having your book published. You're only going to pay for the books that you actually buy. That's it. Because the ton of work of editing and stuff is left to the author. All he does is, or he or she does, is supply us the manuscript in electronic form, Word doc form, and we do all the changing over to the book format. All the spelling and all that stuff is done by the author before he releases it to us. That way, it is not vanity publishing, so you're not stuck with that image in the minds of the other publishers.
Well, I have to say, as a person who owns dozens of books from HiddenMysteries.com, that not only do you have a wide variety of excellent subject material and stuff that you just cannot go into a bookstore and get, the books themselves that you produce are absolutely beautiful. I know from having worked with you on the books that you have used the most modern methods and you put out beautiful books. Tell them a little bit about your historical reprints, that the pages, everything that you see on the pages looks exactly like the historical book themselves. Is that right?
We try to make it that way. Other than occasionally a book will come to us and it's yellow that we want to reprint. We can actually fix a lot of the yellowness out of it by modern technology. We have chosen, or we started this with a book called Mysteries of the Pyramid, and we have grown into 4,000 titles that we publish ourselves now.
Well, so everybody should go to HiddenMysteries.com and check that out. And how do they contact TGS Publishing?
You can write to us through Hidden Mysteries, info@HiddenMysteries.com. And it comes to the same place as writing to the TGS Publishing because it's all one address. But we will give you attention as far as your book. And you provide it, and like I say, we'll get it into print for little to no money for you, because only money you put it to be out is the money you've got that you buy books with.
All right. Well, I hope this has given the listeners a little bit to think about on the subject not only of Texas independence, but self-determination and the right to everyone to decide for themselves and not to be cattle dependent on the media and the government to tell you what you should think. I'd like to thank Lauren for having been my guest tonight on our first show. I hope you'll all come back and join us for our next show, which is going to be about a set of books that is published by TGS and sold on HiddenMysteries.com. It's a very controversial set of books called The International Jew by Henry Ford. We'll be discussing various aspects of it, and we'll talk about what we think is correct, what we think is incorrect, and why we think that it's an important book for you to read.
Remember, the eyes of Texas are upon you.
That's right. For Ghost, I'm Asmodor. Good night. Good luck.